And we are in Proverbs 12:14 this morning. Proverbs 12:14. Now in the King James Version for this proverb, it reads this way, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him." Now the New American Standard Version reads this way, "A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him." And the New International Version reads, "From the fruit of their lips people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward." Now, this proverb, as is true in so many of the proverbs, is not a contrast between the wicked or what is wicked and the righteous or what is righteous. It's not that. It's a proverb about fruit that is generated in two ways. We all like fruit. Fruit is what we eat every day, whether it's green beans or an orange. That's the fruit of the scriptures. As far as food is concerned, but fruit also is what is harvested. And this proverb tells us that fruit can be generated from the mouth and from the hands. Now, James captured the thought of fruit bearing in word and in deed when he wrote in his epistle in chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, in his instruction, he naturally connects word with works. For work without works is vain. You know, there's an old saying that says, "Put your money where your mouth is." Boy, when you say that to people, all of a sudden their mouth shuts. You know, now you're reaching into my wallet. It's easy to yap, but if you expect work from that, I better shut my mouth. But you know, none of us live a day without using words. What tools words are. The work of a preacher. How'd you like to look at the preacher for an hour and he just stands there without saying anything? My, we'd say, we're not coming back. Words are important to a preacher. Words are important to a teacher. In fact, the work of anyone who lives is a work of words. Now, just think of the fruit of words that result when the gospel is preached. God gave us words that are designed to gain fruit. Paul told of this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God," this is the wisdom of God. Now, this is not the wisdom of the world. They're two diametrically opposed wisdoms. God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My ways are past finding out," he said. But he said, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." How often have you heard people say how foolish it is to believe? Well, God chose to be foolish. Now, saving them is the harvest brought by words. God tells us in Isaiah 55:11 about the prosperity His word brings when it is sowed. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now the gardener goes out in the garden, casts his seed out, and expects that seed to not return to him void. And that's what God said. I'm casting out my words. I don't expect it to return unto me void. It will bring to me a harvest. So think about the harvest that God's word will bring into the barns. And in this proverb, God, in choosing the word fruit, wants us to think of the use of words the same way we use seed. Boy, that's a whole interesting idea. He wants us to think about the use of words as though the words were seeds to be planted with the eventual hope of a harvest. He wants us to think of our daily walk in the same way a farmer walks his plowed furrows planting seed. Now meditate upon that. Now all my words I'm to picture as seeds planted. Whoa, that's a big garden. What will come from those words? What will arise from those seeds? God is asking us to think about. For no farmer plants seeds without a hope of a harvest. No farmer is careless in the use of his seed, for each seed has within it a hope of fruit that will not only bless the farmer, but will bless those who partake of the fruit. Isn't that true in farming? Now, no farmer stores his seed so that it gets rained on. No farmer puts his seed in a place where creatures can get into the seed. He carefully guards his seed. And no farmer with deliberation or foreknowledge plants rotten seed. That's foolish. Seed that it's beyond its ability to produce fruit, for the farmer knows there is no other purpose in planting seed than to produce fruit. Now think of that with regard to words. And no farmer leaves his seed in the barn, for seed kept from being planted will never bear fruit. It's like putting the money, well, nowadays, if you put the money under the mattress, it might be better. But in the old days, when there was a decent interest rate, you put your money under the mattress and you didn't get any fruit. For God has so made things that rewards are the result of effort. Let's get that across to Americans. Rewards are the result of effort. Harvests are the result of planting, and to be satisfied with good from your mouth or your hands, both are required to participate. You know, you've heard the saying, quit sitting on your hands. You know, lift, push. So here again, we bump up against God's word, which tells us to be very careful in what our mouth and hands participate in, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that's the message of Scripture with regard to words. What kind of seed does your mouth sow? What kind of work do your hands sow? Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 3, 10 and 11, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. You know, you think about little children sitting at the table and you put, you know, when I was a boy, we didn't have menus at the table. We didn't have, you know, nowadays you go to, it seems like you go to tables and they got this printed menu of, you know, 10 choices. But in my day, you just ate what was on the table. The fruit of their doings. Now, if little children had to eat the fruit of their doings, they would probably say, this doesn't taste good. You know, little children get into a lot of trouble. But basically, that's what he's saying. Say it to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Same message in our proverb today. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, God has so arranged things in his creation that all things will come out well. That's our God. All things are going to come out well. We have no justification for fear that they won't, because we have a God that will make it so. And that includes both the work of the mouth and the work of the hands. You know, when Paul told the Romans in chapter 8, verse 22, that all things work together for good, he applied that to those who love God. And to those who love God, God equips them with seed and hands that will bear good fruit. You have seed of the words and hands to bear good fruit. So our proverb speaks of that which returns to the man by what comes out of the mouth and what comes forth from his hands. You know, this reminds me of that truth expressed in Ecclesiastes 11:1, which says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You know, you get back what you put out, is the message of that word. There is personal reward in giving good words and good works. Good fruit out of the mouth will bring to the man satisfaction. Good work from the man's hands will bring recompense, which means payment or compensation. Good words will bring joy. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Oh, God says, a word of witness will bring cheer and joy to yourself. A word proclaiming the glories of God, a good word of encouragement to others, will bring back to yourself reward. Isaiah 50 verse 4 tells of the learned tongue, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. You know, that's why you're here in Sunday school. That's why you come to the services. That's why you read the Bible. Why? Not just purposeless, you're just not here for nothing. You're here to get the tongue of the learned. God expects you to have the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. When people come into the service, do you look at their face? Are they weary? Can you speak a word in season to the person that's weary? Oh, how that lifts up. That lifts up the person that's weary, but it also lifts up the person that gave the word. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Right there tells you to get into the word every day. Get on your knees every day. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. So we are made in the image of God and are to revere and lift up word as God lifts up word. You know, in the old days, word was everything. You were expected to be a person of your word. And if you were not a person of your word, you were not a good person. Word was elevated. Now we're taught that word means nothing. But God's word tells us that it does. But God so lifts up word that he gives to his son the name of word. God's son's name is word. How lifted up is that? In the beginning was the word, and as sons of the word, we too consist of word. God, in making us the image of his son, desires that we also lift up word by that which proceeds out of our mouth. God, in speaking to us through his son, always speaks to us word fitly spoken. There's no casual words in the scriptures. There's no la-di-da words. There's no words there that are just there to fill up space. All the words of God are fitly spoken, and it will never return unto him void. There is always fruit returned to God by the sowing of his word. Oh, how God loves to be a husbandman and looking for the harvest. God's looking for the harvest. Not only looking for the harvest to come, but he's looking for a harvest in his children. You know, Proverbs 25:11 tells us this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, this proverb, so beautifully constructed, just the poetic nature of this proverb is beautiful in itself. It's so fit. But it is word fitly spoken, for God brings us to focus our eyes on desirable golden apples framed by a beautiful silver vessel. That's what when we read that, we're supposed to picture that. Golden, delicious apples framed by a beautiful silver vessel. Fitly spoken word is so presented that the hearer desires to take the word as he would a delectable golden apple from a silver chalice. You hear the word, oh, I want some of that. It's fitly spoken. I want what that said. I want a taste of that delicious golden apple. The word is presented and framed in such a way as to excite the hearer to take the word and act upon it. In other words, there is a way that words spoken will be accepted more readily if spoken properly or fitly. This is the quest of a preacher. This is the desire of a preacher's heart, to be able to frame words in a way where they reach into the heart and gladly tasted. Now, God expects us to present words in a way that enhances the attractiveness of truth. You know, words that frame truth in a way that attracts, a way that enhances the word's ability to accomplish a purpose. You know, truth can be presented in such a way that it repels. You have to be careful about that. We're not here to present truth that it repels. But God desires that truth be presented in a fitting way, in an acceptable way. Now, some people will be repelled by truth, but that's their problem. But it's not my problem to make them be repelled by truth. My problem is to present truth in a fitting way. You know, as God's child, we are not to use words that are unfit. Words that do not fit the times or the seasons or the temperament or the age words that are not acceptable, words that are simply dragged along, forced, but words that flow smoothly along like wheels on a beautiful vehicle. Now that is speaking words fitly. As Job said in Job 6:25, how forcible are right words. You know, look at Jesus Christ as the Word of God. Jesus is given the name Word of God, totally fitly spoken by God. Think about the discourses of Christ on the living water, the bread of life, the new birth, and how they arose naturally in the conversation. You know, the finest witness that I recall, the one that I treasure the most, was how it naturally flowed in the conversation and how it just fit in. And it was sincere from the heart. It wasn't forced. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of the Word fitly spoken. If you look at the written Word of God and its fitness, it fits the times, it fits the seasons, it fits the temperament of the age, and it's the Word of God that is used to accomplish God's purpose. You know, God has given us His Word to accomplish His purpose. We're to carry His Word to accomplish His purpose. He's put everything into His Word that He desires to accomplish His purpose. We're told that God used words to bring the worlds into existence. God lets all things be done decently and in order. Everything that God does is fit. You know, I think about the trees of the forest, how they fit together. All the branches intertwine with other trees, and they fit together. Even the leaves falling on the forest floor fit together. Can you imagine that? You go into a forest and you look at the beautiful carpet of the forest and there's an old aluminum Coke can out of place. Just out of place. We don't know how to fit it together. But God fits everything together. And all His Word fits together in the person of Jesus Christ. So Word then, fitly spoken, is the will of God for those created in the image of God. We are created in God's image, and even our word fitly spoken does not return to us void. He accomplishes His purpose with His word, and our word should do the same. You know, a word fitly spoken accomplishes its mission. It is not spoken just to be spoken. It is not spoken just to relieve our conscience. You know, a lot of people say, I'm saying this to get it off my chest. That's not a good purpose. I must not say it just to make me feel good or to get it off my chest. Words are to be spoken to accomplish a purpose. If rebuke, it must be fitly spoken. There's a way to rebuke. There's a way to correct. And it must be fitly spoken. If instruction, it must be spoken fitly in order to be most effective. If it is a word of encouragement, it must be fitly spoken if encouragement is to be realized. God expects His Word to be fitly preached so that truth will attract His own. That is why we must be prudent in our words. The Scripture talks about being prudent in your words. We must be slow to speak, as James 1:19 tells us. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Slow to hear? No. Swift to hear. Quick to speak? No. Slow to speak. And slow to wrath. That's the admonition of the Scriptures for God's people. So as in fitting everything, you try to fit things together, you try to make an outfit and you try to fit things together. Fitting things together takes time, it takes thought, and it takes prayer in the fitting. But those things that we say, we have an obligation that they be words of truth. And if spoken, we must consider not only what we say, but to whom we say it, the time we say it. You know, timing is, there's so much importance in timing, picking the right time. That's one thing I never have liked. When I was working, I'm walking down the hall, somebody pulls me in, wants me to tell something important. It's the wrong time. Pastor probably has this happen to him all the time. Got a goal to do something and somebody pulls him aside, tells him something. The timing is wrong. Pick a time that's best to be fitly spoken. Not only what we say, but to whom we say it, the time we say it, and the place we say it. And speaking in this manner will bring a man to be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. That's the message of this proverb. This man will not be one to wish his words disappear. He won't be one to say, oh, I wish I had not said that. This man will not regret words that come from his mouth, for they will be words that return fruit to him that will bless him. This man will bring forth words of life to others, using the mouth to broadcast the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. Have you ever regretted saying that? Have you ever said, oh, I wish I had not broadcast the gospel? But this man, who speaks according to the Scriptures, who speaks according to the admonitions of the Scriptures, will be a fountain of wholesome advice, good instruction, and sound doctrine will be given as water flows to a thirsty man. Paul captured this truth in 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So he's saying that minister the word and it'll satisfy both you and the hearer. We see this truth in the person of our Lord, who issued forth fruit on all occasions as he was the living word. You know, every word which came forth out of his mouth brought life, and he was satisfied with good. He is the one whose image we are to be. You know, I think about the wonderful words of truth that he spoke to the woman of Samaria, the woman who came to the well. Jesus said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know, Jesus continued to bring forth the fruit of the mouth, and that drew her to himself until she desired to share those words with those of the city. And she said to them, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So because of the words of Christ that brought fruit to him, she took those words and brought fruit to herself. For she entered into fruit-bearing with her mouth of witness, which would turn about and bring blessings upon her. And so it was with Christ, for in John 4:31-36, it tells us that which returned to Jesus by his witness to the woman of Samaria. This is such an interesting thing that really verifies the proverb that we're studying today. But in this scripture, it says this, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of." You see, Jesus Christ was relishing that experience with the woman by giving her the gospel, telling her of the Messiah. And he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, and the disciples always think according to the world. What's going on? Who fed him? What meat did he have? Hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're always thinking on this low plane. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You see how the sowing and the reaping bring joy. Not only the reaping, but the sowing. The putting forth the words brings joy. You know, there is nothing more satisfying than to use the mouth to do the will of God, for it always bears fruit. Jesus dined on meat that day. The disciples couldn't find the meat. The disciples wondered who fed him the meat. But Jesus knew where the meat came from, and it was doing the will of God, and in bringing the woman to himself glory that was brought to the Father. So it all works together, does it not? A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for these dear people that have listened to this lesson this morning. We thank you, Father, that they have, I believe, a heart that desires to be in the group of the learned. Lord, we want to have our tongues guarded by the Word of God. We want to have our tongues be a filter to say yes to some words and no to many. Because we want our words, Father, to bear fruit. Lord, help us to be a testimony with our words. Help us to be a testimony with our hands, that we might bring forth fruit to the great harvest. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.